Good evening, everyone. Nice to sit with you tonight. 5 minutes is not very long, is it? Not when we're used to 10.
So it's my fault.
I think it's Randy's fault. So next week we'll go back to the 10. But anyway, welcome. 2 weeks ago we started a new series called Building a Practice. But then Uvalde happened just right after Buffalo. So we talked about grief in the sense that that's all we're doing lately is grieving. So this week, because we're beginning again, we're here in Wimberley at the Unity Church, and so we're beginning again, something new, just seeing how this is working for all of us. But I'm going to talk again about something I feel like is Stephen's making me laugh because I'm having to look at his iPad instead of the big screen, and I can see you better on the big screen, so I'm like this. Sorry about that. So, but next week I'll do a review on how to build a practice again and continue that series, but tonight I just felt like we needed to talk a little bit about coming together. So I'm going to start with a poem, Thinking Like a Butterfly. Monday, I was told I was good. I felt relieved. Tuesday, I was ignored. I felt invisible. Wednesday, I was snapped at. I began to doubt myself. On Thursday, I was rejected. Now I was afraid. On Saturday, I was thanked for being me. On Sunday, my soul relaxed. On Sunday, I was left alone till the part of me that can't be influenced grew tired of submitting and resisting. Monday, I was told I was good. By Tuesday, I got off the wheel. And that's Mark Napoe. The wheel of what? Well, the wheel of inner dialogue that we ride up and down all day long, each day. So, you'll hear in the teachings the wheel of samsara, living in a world of uncertainty, loneliness, and despair. Truly, life is full of suffering. And so, where can we take our refuge? We all need it. So, in the Buddhist teachings, there are three traditional refuges that are offered to us. The Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And we take refuge in the Buddha not for anything but acknowledging that he was an exceptional human being that was able to find out so many different treasures that enabled our life to be happier. And he was a human being. He modeled it as a human being. And so we take refuge in the Dharma, the truth. And the truth, as you well know, is not what we think. So it's difficult to open to the truth. But the truth, through the teachings, we learn how to live with generosity, compassion, and wisdom. All of the things that enable us to be at peace. So, you know, the Buddha, as you well know, left his luxury castle, and really, he was just, I wouldn't say as deluded as we are, but he was in somewhat of a delusion, because when he went out of the gates, he saw old age, sickness, and death. So really, he had been conditioned as much as any of us within his own culture. So how to be happy regardless of what happens outside of us. What to do with the pain. And when he did find out, that's when he taught the three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And the third jewel is the Sangha, was the brightest. He said of all three, it is the Sangha that's the most important. Refuge in the Sangha. So here we are, a Sangha, a group of human beings who are most interested in the first two refuges. How to be happier? Through following the teachings of another human being. So, all of a sudden we're told maybe we could have a Buddha nature. And the truth of coming together and supporting each other on the journey of truth is important. And here we are, the Sangha. We're in person. Got people around me you can't see. Four people, five including Randy, around me. We've got 22 up on the screen. So we're hanging with others who are just as interested at finding the truth of existence. So Sangha is important. We connect with each other to share all of life that is most difficult, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And no one really has offered us that before. But we've talked about this before. It is the Sangha safe. Some of you have commented on that just recently. It's very safe, it's very forgiving, loving community. So we know a little bit about what it's like to be a human being and how important it is that this sense of being separate is not who we are. And as we open to the truth together, then there is a door of true connection, of love and compassion. So we're free to talk about being human in all its aspects. What a relief. And still feel that we are truly connected in ways we've forgotten. We need each other. We need each other's support. We need to come together. And with this, we'll explore skillful ways to hold our fears and losses and build a sense of hope and beauty, even during the difficult times that we've been experiencing with Buffalo and Uvalde. Buddha makes it quite clear we can't do it alone, and I certainly haven't seen that in my years of experience, because it's too hard to face all of our truths alone. It takes a lot of courage for us to see the truth of our existence. But together we're beginning to see it's okay to be a 100% human being. That's what we're trying to do, ultimately. And so all these difficulties can be understood and known with unconditional love. That's why we feel safe here. We've got the secrets. We're not denying who we are. Or we're not denying the human being part of us that is vulnerable. And we're used to or conditioned to just keeping this under lock and key. I only want you to know what I want you to know about me. And that's the way we're conditioned. And nothing's wrong with that if we know we are consciously doing it. I mean, there's a time to do it, to be it. Don't, as Randy says, you don't want to wash your laundry in front of too many people, your dirty laundry. So to be human, we experience all the same thing. If when we get to know how to be human 100% of the time, we know all human beings. And we know we fool ourselves saying that it's only me that feels this way. I'm the only one that. And so the Buddha says all of it's important. And he gave us the 8 vicissitudes. Oh, Randy.
We practiced that.
We practiced and practiced. And he said on the way over here, practice out loud. I said, no, I know it. Don't bother me. But we also know, all of us, because we've been around each other, that if I do make a mistake, Randy's always there.
Right. I'll let you know.
It is vicissitudes.
Vicissitudes. All right.
And now I'm vulnerable, and now you see where my weakness is. You know, it's pronouncing certain things. But let's see what these vicissitudes.
Let's just call them the V's.
Let's call them the V's, okay. Praise and blame. Can you relate to that? Gain and loss. Pleasure and pain. Fame and disrepute. We've all been there. In either big ways, small ways. But we can relate because we've all made mistakes, big ones and little ones, that we have to live with. And that is to be human. To be human is to err. Isn't that a relief? Well, it certainly was for me, or is for me. So we're waking up that we are perfectly imperfect, and that's okay. Because that's the design of being human. We don't have to pretend. And so just that enables an opening to ourselves. You mean I'm not the only one who wakes up in the middle of the night and afraid that I'm going to die? You know? Am I the only one who gets angry when things don't go my way? Or am I the only one wallowing in the wallowing of life? So becoming completely human is our journey. And I believe this with every cell in my body. Truth will set us free. Truth, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So our work is, how can that be? We know the difficulties of life. We've directly experienced them. How in the world can we find peace in this lifetime? And again, the only place that peace can be found is within. So we're going within to see if this is true. And again, we have to find this out for ourselves. It sounds easy, or it sounds, wow, isn't that nice? Peace within. We've sat with ourselves enough to know that there is very little peace within us all the time. We have to work at it. So perhaps the biggest tragedy in our lives is that freedom is possible. This is possible. That's why the Buddha stayed on the planet long enough to teach people just like you and me. And we can stay stuck in our old patterns and our old ways of doing things, which would be wallowing in the wallowing, entangled with the unworthiness that we've been conditioned to feel, caging ourselves in a small little separate cell. So the way out of our cage begins with, here it is, accepting absolutely everything about ourselves in our lives. How could that be? How could that be? Well, by embracing wakefulness and care for our moment-to-moment experience. That's the secret. Being in the present moment. Experiencing life through the whole body. Understanding the nature of the mind, where it is not leading us by our noses. That sounds impossible, but it's not. And for some of us who have practiced long enough, we're believers. It's not false faith, or that's not false faith. What is that called? It doesn't matter. It's faith from directly experience that it works. And so what I mean is that we are aware of what is happening within our body and mind in any given moment. There's the freedom. This is the catcher. Without judging, without trying to control, without pulling away. That's the truth. Now, we're not going to put up with harmful behaviors, from each other or even ourselves. But this is an inner process of accepting our actual present moment experience. It means feeling sorrow and pain without resisting. It means feeling desire or dislike for someone or something without judging ourselves. We know it. We know the judgmental mind. And nothing's wrong with it if we know it. Oh, hello, judgmental mind. Because with that knowledge, we're not going to act on it. We're just going to acknowledge that we're human beings, and sometimes that judgmental mind just flat comes up. So it's unnecessary to judge ourselves for feeling the feelings that we have. And I talked last week about emotions. It includes emotions. Hello, emotions. Even though you can be optional, first, I have to get to know you. What are my emotions that keep running and running and running? Seeing that clearly, it is through that seeing that the truth comes to us. So, it's the practice of mindfulness. We're on the right track. All right, we're in the best situation. We have a Sangha. We have people coming together who are interested in who we really are. Because we're not tampering with our experience, mindfulness allows us to see life as it is. That's our job. That's our lesson. We can't honestly accept an experience about ourselves unless we know it. So we've got to recognize it and allow it and experience it within the whole body, where that's the only place life is experienced 100% of the time. Now, you can still be in your head and be conscious, but we've been conditioned to go to the head and listen to it way too much. We don't understand the nature of the mind. And so it holds us hostage. And so with that, I'm going to end. Thank you. And at this point, I have no idea what we're going to do. Does anybody else have any idea?
Questions and answers.
Okay. So Randy says questions and answers, of course. And so we open it up to you. Thank you.